I'm joined in studio today by Michael Venn and Carlina Lyons, getting ready to launch The Heroin Effect on March 30th at the Music Hall. How's it going, guys?
Good.
I'm good, thank you.
I'm just going to start with this quick anecdote and say that, you know, as this was starting to happen and starting to get publicized, because obviously you've been working on this film for a little while, everybody was like, "Oh, Michael Venn, have you met Michael Venn yet? You need to meet Michael Venn. Like, you gotta talk to him about Michael Venn." I kid you not, it was like this whole like, "You gotta talk to Michael Venn." So I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah,
that's a weird little intro. I'm glad I'm here too.
Right, but I understand. It was also very weird for me. I'm like, okay, Michael Venn, I get it.
Wow, stop being so pushy, people.
Yeah, that's my name. Don't wear it out.
Right. Right. Well, that, and apparently you're also the guy known as, he looks like Johnny Depp. I'm sure you get that a lot.
Never.
No, I've never.
No.
I've heard that once.
Marilyn Justin Monroe sometime. He gets Marilyn Monroe.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep.
Really? I get Juan Valdez, the coffee guy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So why don't you tell me a little bit about The Heroin Effect for those that listening that may not have heard about this as of yet?
I think I'm going to start out with the precursor to the story as to how this all came about,
because
I think it's a good, it sets the stage pretty well. But it was, let's see, 2 years ago now, and I live pretty close to downtown. I was walking on a Sunday and to grab a cup of coffee with my son and my dog, went downtown, and it was in the coffee shop, and every headline of every newspaper was, you know, another overdose, heroin epidemic. And that was from the Portsmouth Herald to the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, you name it. It was everything. And I grew up in Miami, Florida, and that was a huge kind of eye-opening thing, because I was like, you know, you expect to hear that story in Miami. You expect it in, you don't expect it in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and in and around this area. So I got my coffee and walked back home, and so this all happened in like 15 minutes. And I was just about to my house, and I ran into a friend of mine who I hadn't seen in a long time. And I said, "Hey, how's it going? How have you been?" And he goes, "Oh, not too bad." And I said, you're in a pretty bad car accident. You look like you're doing well. What's going on?" And he goes, "Oh, you didn't hear the full story." And I was like, "No." And he goes, "Well, I'm a heroin addict. I shot up, nutted out on 101, totaled my truck. Lucky to be alive. I've been living at a sober living facility now. I've been clean for 9 months. And so, yeah, that's what's going on." And I looked at him. My jaw kind of hit the floor. I was like, "What?" And this is a kid who, you know, good looking guy, really smart, in grad school, you know, had everything going for him. You know, he wasn't in anybody's eyes. I think anybody that you'd say, "Oh, that guy's addicted to heroin." So, you know, came from a good family, all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, he told me that, and it kind of, you know, I finished my walk home and wrote the outline for what became this film. And it was all about, you know, breaking stigma and like really going, wait a minute, you know, this is a guy that you look at and he looked like he stepped off the cover of GQ magazine. You know, he was somebody who you want your kid to grow up to be like, you want your daughter to date. He's not somebody who you think of as a heroin addict. So it really shifted my perception like immediately. And, you know, I really said, how, you know, what can I do? And I wrote this idea for a film. And the first note that I made was, you know, I want to do a film about heroin that's not about spoons, needles, you know, following a junkie around, you know, quote unquote junkie, and, you know, waiting for them, you know, what's next, you know, that story that's been done and everybody's told it and heard it. And so I want to do something different to kind of help change that perspective and like really look at, you know, get an intimate look at, you know, the people and like their real stories. So that was kind of the impetus for everything.
Yeah, I think that over the course of the last 2 years, like you said, it really has become, you know, when you told that story, it's like the first words that come to mind are mind blown.
Yeah. I mean,
I think that we're in a state of being mind blown at just how real and unassuming it has become in some ways.
Yeah. I think the interesting thing too is that, you know, so those people, like, you know, that friend of mine who I ran into, and he's still doing great from what I know and everything, but, you know, that really, it really truly shifted it. And I think it's one of those things that, you know, and that to kind of take it to the next step. And I, you know, I sat there and I was like, wow, that would be a great film to do. Really want to do it. And then I told somebody and they were like, yeah, you should do that. And I was like, okay, well, now I've said something out loud. I should really do this. But the weird thing was, is so after that happened, a week later, I was on a cruise ship for a Christmas cruise with my family in the Caribbean. The second day I'm on the boat, this guy walks up to me. He's like, "Hey, are you from Portsmouth, New Hampshire?" And I'm like, "What? Are you kidding me? Like, I'm in the middle of the Caribbean. And how is this guy?" And so we start talking and comes to find out, you know, so I'm like, "Yeah, I am." And, you know, we, for whatever reason, got onto this subject of the next project that I was thinking about doing. And this is a guy who's in his 50s. And I told him what it was. And he goes, wow. He goes, yeah, you and I should talk. He's like, I'm in recovery from heroin. And I was like, what? Again, mind blown. This guy doesn't look like what you think of as a heroin addict. And then to take it a step further, he got clean in Miami during the time that I lived in Miami. Mm. So for me, I was like, okay, I get the hint. I should probably do this film.
Right. You're like, noted, going home, writing script, got it.
Yeah. So.
And so the process began. So it took you how long to make the film?
A little over 2 years now. It's been, I think we did the first interview in the end of January of 2015. Mm-hmm. And kind of ended it, I don't know, 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And so what is your overall goal?
Oh, it's actually a fundraiser screening.
Right. So we're raising funds.
To bring us to the next step. To hopefully get to festivals and allow us to pursue distribution and all those things. Mm-hmm. Sorry, the annoying business.
No. That's voice. Why you have producers to keep you on track,
wonderful.
Right? No, I totally get that. I totally get that.
Thank you,
Mary. No, absolutely. So that's happening March 30th.
Mm-hmm.
And this is sort of the beginning of what you hope to be a lot of good things, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Music Hall approached us, and we were thrilled. I mean, there couldn't be a better place to have an event like this. So we're really thankful to Monty and Chris and all the crew there for inviting us in.
It's really wonderful to do, like, your local screening at an absolutely, like, beautiful 850-seat, you know, theater. It's like, oh, this is my local screening.
Yeah.
At a beautiful location.
It's true, because we thought, well, okay, so between Mike and I, Mike has a better TV, but I can sit more people.
Yeah.
So that was our other option.
If I use the bar stools
and some people lay down.
Right.
Now you have a better TV, though.
Oh, there we go. Well, Music Hall is an even better TV.
Yes.
And how long have you been making films, Michael?
I don't know. 6 years, maybe? 7 years? Since 08, 09.
And just something you sort of discovered, something you always wanted to do?
I think it was something I always wanted to do. But like as a kid, I was really into movies and film. But I was also into music. So music kind of, I don't know, music took over for me. That was like really more my passion. But I mean, you know, I think as I got older and there was, you know, such a great film community in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. And I got lucky because of the New Hampshire Film Festival and meeting a ton of people in this area that are very well connected. And, you know, once you kind of hang out on a film set once, you're like, wait a minute. This is the coolest thing ever. Why didn't I go to film school? Carlina did, though. So at least one of them is
super,
like,
super educated.
Right. And so
very
now,
impressive.
How long have you guys known each other? Was this sort of like an obvious collaboration or just how did that all come about?
Relatively obvious. Mike and I were high-bye friends at Hannaford's for a very long time.
Yep.
I don't have any
high-bye friends at Hannaford.
Oh, I totally have a high... Mike was my favorite high-bye friend because he always used to let his son choose the pasta shape, and I just thought that was the most charming thing in the world. I know, it's a stupid thing, but...
No, that's precious.
I just thought, wagon wheels. He usually chose wagon wheels.
Oh, yeah, back
in the
day.
And that was so cute. And then Mike and I worked together. I produced my first short film. Dark Scribbles, and Mike and I have become friends, and he knows I have a personal connection to the issue. I had lost a sister to heroin, and he accosted me in the library and said, would you like to work on this? And I said, of course. Yeah, and here I am.
Absolutely.
And it's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, it's been, it's definitely
that's
been...
That's an odd thing to say. I don't mean, it's been a pleasure. Woo, heroin! It's been a great learning experience, and I really think we have something that, like Mike had touched on earlier, isn't the typical needle porn. This isn't, you might shed a tear, but I hope, and our goal is that people will come away seeing that there are happy endings, there are good stories, and there are things that people can directly do to create happy endings for themselves and for those in their community.
The word I like to use whenever I'm engaged in this topic, which is more often than not these days, and it is, like you, a cause that is close to me. It's one mm-hmm. I'm always happy to talk about and raise awareness and educate and all of that, which I was naturally drawn to hearing about your film mm-hmm. before finding out, you know, you were Michael Venn and I had to talk with Michael Venn. You speak to something in terms of the fact that people are more connected to it than we realize.
Yeah.
Even in your journey alone of coming to making the film, it's like it's so relevant.
And that's something really that's relevant. A huge change. When I first, my sister passed away in 06, and when someone say, oh, you know, blah, 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 how's your sister? And I would say, the room would sink and things got very uncomfortable and it was a very taboo subject. Now, if I have to bring it up for, you know, just for a connection, if I'm speaking with someone who's lost someone as well, I want them to know there's a connection there. It's a wide open topic. It is not something that people are surprised about, which scares me, or ashamed of, which inspires me.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've hit a point where everybody's like one degree of separation. Mm-hmm. It's not like this thing where, you know, and I look back at it too, like the last documentary we did together, that's actually dedicated to somebody who died of an overdose. Mm. And, you know, a friend of mine and that a lot of people knew. And, you know, at that point, I didn't think that I was going to do this film and, you know, that kind of thing. And you hear these stories and the one that inspired me, and then, you know, it just kind of, you start looking at it and you want to tell a different story. Like, I think that's what really, mm-hmm. you know, kind of brought me to it. It's like, I want to tell a different story because the one that gets told more often than not doesn't reflect like a lot of our reality. And I think that that's what's really important. You know,
well,
just,
and it's becoming, I hate to use this word, but it's acceptable. Like people are so, it's depicted that way so often right. that it doesn't resonate with people anymore.
And if yeah, we really want to solve the problem, why are we only showing the fails?
Right.
Yeah. Instead, like really shown a lot of people who've done amazing. I've met some of the more amazing people that I've ever met in my life, regardless of their, you know, past, you know, drug use or whatever like that, who've overcome their addictions and gone on to do amazing things, you know, and, mm-hmm. and it's wonderful to see, you know, better than what most people accomplish in lifetimes. So it's pretty cool to see that and really try to focus on that and show somebody that aspect of it. Because if there's somebody out there who's struggling and they don't have their frame of reference is, oh, well, you know, if you're an addict and there's no help and there's no services and you can't get into treatment and then, you know, it's just going to end poorly, as opposed to having some glimmer of hope and being like, hey, if that guy can get out of that situation and he can pull it all together and he can go start a treatment center, a recovery center, or she can do that. I think it gives people a lot of hope when they can look at these people that have been down that same road and come out of it, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, and I think, you know, at the end of the day, like I was saying, I think the word hope is important. Mm-hmm. And that's very important.
We use the word hope a lot.
Hope in this film. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Well, I encourage everybody to head over to the Music Hall on March 30th and check out The Heroin Effect. I wish you all the successes in the world with it. I hope it does amazing things.
Thank you.
You can still purchase tickets.
Yes, yes you can. They are selling like, I can't
selling
think of a less
well.
Classy word than hotcakes or a better word, but they are selling like they sell.
Carlina, Michael, thank you so much. Thank you for your journey and your time and making the film. And for spreading that message of hope. So as I told you, this is something that is near and dear to me, and I'm more than happy to have you guys here and talking about it today.
Thank you so much for
having
us.
Thank you so much.